A pleasant evening to you and YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we have this opportunity to study the Word of God together. If you'll be taking your Bible and turning to 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, we'll begin there in just a moment of time. If you have any spiritual needs, if you'll contact one of the elders, Brother Guy McDaniel or myself, we'd be glad to assist you in any way that we can. In 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul is writing about this time about a subject that is never vain. In fact, the business, it's a subject where a preacher is never outdated. Notice, if you will, where Paul, as he is penning this letter to the church of Corinth, says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." You know, when you stop and think about it, temptation is really warfare. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare that never ceases against the devil and the world. And there are many ways that I could approach this lesson and look at this study. We could look at the mysterious beginning of temptation, or we could look at the person who's behind temptation. However, at this time, I want us to stop and take note that temptation never comes as a devil. And what I mean when I make that statement is temptation never comes ugly. That when the devil seeks to entice and when the devil seeks to try to tempt one, it comes in a way that does not come in a regard that is ugly, but is in a way that entices one to sin. The first thing I want us to think about is temptation's disguise. I feel sure that if the evil one came as he is pictured in the minds of many today, that Adam and Eve would not have been moved to sin. Many people have in their mind that the devil has got a long red tail and a pitchfork and horns, and they've got this picture in their mind. But if the devil came that way, I'm sure Adam and Eve would not have paid heed to him. And I believe that Judas would not have been deceived. And so he does not come in the appearance of the pictures that we have looked upon. This would frighten one away. But notice the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. He came to them as one to help them and rather than hurt them. And he was telling them they could be their own master. And what he said sounded good. He looked so good. He sounded so good. He made sin look good. And so the first thing I want to put into my heart and into your heart is temptation's disguise. That sin and temptation comes in a package that is pretty and looks like it's going to be beneficial. And yet at the same time, my friend, when we look at that temptation, we see that it is the devil pictured as an angel of light. The second thing I want to put into our mind is the dangers of temptation. You know, my friend, it's not wrong to be tempted. We're all tempted. Even Jesus was tempted and yet did not sin. The problem is when we give in to our temptation. And so we need to be on guard against temptation. And we need to see that temptations come when we are least expecting them. Many times the reason we fall into sin is because we're tempted and we weren't prepared for the temptation. You remember in the book of Genesis in the 20th chapter in verse 5, Abraham was tempted to lie at that particular time. And it was because when he got into a certain situation, instead of putting his faith in God, he put his faith in what his wife would tell the people, and he told her to tell them a lie. But then if you have your Bible, look at David. David was a strong man, but when tempted at the least expected time, what does David do? He gives in to sin in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But then look with Peter. When you think of Peter, he was a strong follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. And he said, "I'll never deny him," in Luke 22. But when the enemy came, and when he wasn't expecting it, he did deny the Lord. Have you ever thought it's interesting to go back and look when Jesus was in the garden? He's sweating. And yet, what do we find Peter doing in Luke 22? Warming by a fire. That kind of might be an indication of spiritual temperature at that time. But that brings up a third thought in our study. there are some things that help in time of temptation. We first notice temptation's disguise. Then we've observed the danger of temptation. Now we need to stop and consider what are some things that help us when we are tempted. Now recall the evil one is so deceptive in getting people to yield. All would be sad if there was no help. It would be sad to think there was nothing to help us when we're tempted. But I'll tell you, God has given us some things. First of all, take your Bible and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, notice that Paul said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Now like that, God keeps His word. "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, you know, my friend, what Paul is saying? You do not have to sin. Sin is a choice. And notice he said God has provided a way of escape. Then if you take your Bible, look in the Roman letter and the 14th chapter. And in Romans chapter 14, think about the fact that we have been given a conscience. And that conscience helps us, if it's educated by the Word of God, to know what to do and what not to do. Notice what he said in verse 23 of Romans 14. "He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin." Now then, God has given us the Word of God. We can educate our conscience from the Word of God. We know right from wrong from the Word of God, and thus we can be ready when temptation comes. But that brings up another thought in our study. We need to learn to resist the evil one. Take your Bible and look in the book of James and the 4th chapter. And when you come to the book of James in the 4th chapter, James is writing at this time. And notice what he says in verse 4. "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'? But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.'" Now watch verse 7 carefully. "Therefore," because of all this, "submit to God." That's number one. Then he says, "resist the devil and he will flee from you." That's number two. And then he says, "draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." That's number three. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God. Now then, how do I overcome temptation? I'm close to God, and I know what God's Word says, and I know God doesn't give me more than I'm able to withstand when being tempted, and I have a way of escape, and I resist the evil one. That is how one overcomes sin. But then we need to remember something else. Remember the disguise. We need to keep in mind the disguise. As we think about how to apply this lesson, you remember, my friend, that temptation isn't ugly. Temptation comes as an enticement. And he can make it look like it's for your happiness. Look at the young man in Luke 15. He thought going into the far country would bring happiness. He can make it look like he's your friend. You remember Amnon in 2 Samuel 13? He thought his friend Jonadab would give good advice, but he gave bad advice and told him to do something that was ungodly, immoral, and contrary to God's will. You know, my friend, we need to remember the disguise of the evil one. He can make sin look good. He can transform himself into an angel of light. And he makes it sound like we can become our own master and serve ourselves. And I'll tell you, that is a lie. We are to be servants of the God of heaven. Then secondly, Don't forget the dangers. Just look at the lives hurt and sometimes ruined by yielding to temptation. I'll tell you, my friend, the devil seeks to blind us to the truth. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this age is trying to blind us to the glory of God, to the light in the face of the Son of God. He's trying to take us away from the truth. He's trying to take us away from God. He's trying to take us away from salvation. But finally, don't forget the help. Don't forget what God has given us, so we need not yield to temptation. And my friend, I'll tell you, we have prayer. Oh, that's so powerful. We have the Word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have one another. We can encourage one another, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches throughout Galatia in Galatians 6, 1 through 3, that if anyone's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted, and bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What He has given us to help. I'll tell you, temptation comes to all. We need to be on guard, and we need to be on alert. And we need to remember, my friend, temptation doesn't announce itself as temptation. Temptation doesn't come ugly. It comes all wrapped up, looking good. But the end is destruction when we give in to temptation and we live a life of sin. Now, when I fall, I need to get up and repent. And if I've never been baptized, the first step I need to do is have my sins blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, by being baptized. And if I've wandered away from the truth and I've gone into the world, I need to come back to God and be restored. And when I'm walking daily and I stumble and I fall and I give in to the evil one and I've looked at something and I was tempted and I gave in, I repent and confess, and my God will forgive me when I truly repent. Let us all be on the alert.